This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On Tiwi.
Ray Rowe.
ENN tonight is brought to you by Jake's 58 Casino Hotel. Ring in the new year at Jake's 58 Casino. Win your share of $50,000 cash or a 2023 Audi. Learn more at jakes58.com. If gambling's a problem for you or someone you care about, please call the 24-hour toll-free helpline at 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. I'd like to start off tonight's ENN by saying good evening to Michael.
You're not calling the app!
And to Michael.
How do you call an app?
And a Don.
A very tasty old-fashioned.
And a Don.
Who they playing? Don't know. Don't care.
That's, you know what?
That's like talk it. Radio right there.
Can I get that one more time, Anthony?
Who they playing? Don't know. Don't care.
And to Don.
I bought nothing for Christmas.
To Don and myself.
Which comes in handy.
That's right. And to Don again.
Where's the beeping? I don't know. What's the beeping?
To me.
He's had quite a show, hasn't he?
Is this the day that I throw this animal off a bridge? And to Michael and myself.
And nobody falls, right?
No, of course not, because we have a handle. All right.
That segment, that thing from Peter reminded me of Anchorman.
Which one?
Jack Black character, the motorcycle.
Keith, that's probably where it comes from for me, too.
Yeah.
That's how I roll.
It's a nice little cameo, right, for Jack?
Oh, it's I would say, it's, Don, top five list, unexpected movie cameos.
It's, oh, that's a good one.
You know, you could put that right up there with Tyson in Hangover. It's one of the all-time great. Jack Black showing up to punt Baxter off the bridge. He punted him.
I don't get to work on that this weekend. I got a long flight back from Colorado. I'm going to get that. I'm going to do that next week. That's good.
You've seen Anchorman before, right, Michael?
Yeah, I have.
Just making sure.
I don't consume movies the way you do, guys. I watch them and they're gone, and I don't remember.
I like that he becomes Francesa.
Now I've turned into Eeyore.
I thought you were Francesa type of movies.
New York.
I consume them to different the movies.
All right, let's hear from Mike White, his feelings on facing the Buffalo Bills again.
It's a good opportunity. Obviously, new team, both sides of the ball, and like I said earlier, I've learned a lot from it, but I've tried my best to close the book on that and then move on. And I think it's going to be a really good test for the team. It's obviously a tough place to play, very good team. They're rolling right now, so it's going to be a battle, and looking forward to it.
I've got a problem with football interviews. Well, can't they bring them to rooms where people aren't shouting in the background? What are we doing here?
The NFL
does everything first class, and this is ridiculous. It's like the interviews on basketball, and somebody's dribbling in the background.
But that kind of adds some ambiance to it. I don't get the unless they're just hoping that the crowd noise takes over and we don't really hear this whack sound that gets played constantly.
Whack sound.
You hate whack sound.
I just can't. I almost fell asleep during that. No offense to Mike. Watching him play. But these quarterbacks, man, they give you nothing.
How about this? Let's see how many cliches are in this one. Mike White on not being named the starter for the rest of the season yet.
I think it's more important to live in the moment. I think once you start worrying about other things, your mind wanders and it gets off the task at hand. And I think it goes for the entire team. I think we've done a good job of going week by week and not looking too far into the future and just playing a one-week season every time.
Wow. Dang, five.
Yeah.
Five cliches.
There's got to be a better way to be entertaining and not say anything.
Well, you know what you could do? I mean, it could be a great side game show. Every time these guys are interviewed, you hook them up to some kind of electrode. Every time they give a cliche, they get shocked.
That would be something. That would really be, I would like that.
Oh, it'd be tremendous.
It would be better than the game itself.
Yeah.
Let's go back to last night, shall we? We've talked ad nauseum about how bad these games have been for Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, but Al, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit finally got a goodie in the surprise Baker Mayfield Rams-led win. Let's hear the end.
Second and 10. Mayfield to the end zone to Jefferson. Is that possible? Touchdown.
Yeah. How about that?
Okay.
A little energy.
He was almost up for that one.
Yeah.
I like
he's,
that.
He's probably seen more bad football this year than he has in the last 30 years.
But here, I was thinking of this analogy when I was watching the game last night. He is the Hugh Hefner of football play-by-play.
Well, go ahead.
Talk to me.
Where you've seen so much. Like, how can you be moved anymore? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he still does it. You know, he still has a woman on each arm, still wearing the smoking jacket. But really, he's... Believe me, what Hugh Hefner is seeing when we see it, forget it. It'd be over the top, but he sees it. It's
oh my God, you're not going to believe this girl I'm friends with, Hugh. Oh, you've never seen anyone like it, really? I haven't. I bet I have.
I mean, there's times where been there, done that, infinity. So I'll give him a break. But on that call, that was the requisite energy.
It almost had the energy of I've got the Rams in 6.5.
But there was a catch from Adams earlier in the game where you thought it was a broken bat single. Remember the one-handed catch in the first half?
I didn't have the volume on then. He didn't get up for it?
Nothing.
Was that like two sips into the old-fashioned, Don?
No, that was before I had gotten to the establishment.
Oh, okay.
I saw a replay of it, and people were responding on Twitter. And then I rewatched it, and I'm like, yeah, there wasn't much of that.
Let's hear Sean McVay on Mayfield's play.
To go 98 yards, that's the first time under 2 minutes in a game-winning drive that's happened in 45 seasons, Kevin Demoff just told me. I mean, even when we're clocking it, you're having to explain to Baker, hey, here's our clock mechanics right here. You're underneath the center. This is what the cadence is. And you can't say enough about Baker Mayfield and the leadership, the resilience, the competitiveness, and what a quick study. I mean, he just got here 5 minutes ago and figured out a way to be able to do some special things tonight. And there was a lot of plays that we had going in a positive direction that ended up getting called back.
And here's Mayfield.
I don't know if you can write it any better than that. Obviously, we'd like to be a little bit more stress-free, but it's a pretty damn good story, I'll be honest with you. So it's special.
And if you guys could leave now, I'd like to go to sleep.
Yeah, come on, let's clear out.
Yeah, shut the light off, please.
Please shut the light off on your way out. It's time to rest.
This is where I live.
You know,
it's going to be difficult for me because what happens when the Chargers are playing?
Oh my God, the noise.
Yeah.
Like, forget it. If he wants to go to sleep early and, like, the Chargers are hosting a Sunday nighter.
No go.
He's got to deal with, like, random people in his bed.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted this earlier.
It was
NFL memes. The Baker Mayfield cycle. It was play like crap. That's not what they said. Blame wide receiver and head coach. Underdog mentality. Play well, win a game. Film new commercial. And then back up top, play like crap.
That's kind of what it was.
Oh, did you see him after the touchdown? He headbutted a guy. He didn't have
it was insane.
Headbutted a guy with a helmet on. I mean, what's wrong with you?
It wasn't what you want.
He's emotional. That's probably half the battle for him, right? Is to be able to contain that and work it. There's clearly skill there, guys. Clearly. Just a matter of who can harness it, and maybe this is the place, right? Because sounded like Mike T. Tannenbaum says, because I'm sorry I said Mike Tito. I take that back. Mike Tannenbaum.
Right.
That maybe they keep him. And I was thinking when they were losing the game 16-3, Michael, not only that I was going to get my 3-point hit, but they might be in a position to draft a quarterback. But now maybe you find a way to keep Mayfield. Maybe this is the coach that can bring greatness out of him. There's something there. Can we all agree? There's talent there. You don't join a team and then 48 hours later lead them the victory. I don't care who it's against. So imagine a whole training camp with that coach, a whole training camp of knowing the system. There's ability there.
I mean, you'd think so, right?
You know what I like? I wonder if you noticed this too, guys. Sean McVay just won a Super Bowl. How excited was he to win that game? Did you see him on the sidelines like a kid?
Yeah.
I loved it.
They care. Listen, these guys, you can say a lot about football. There's a lot of things that make football coaches and players annoying at times. How much they care about every game, it's really unmatched. There's no sport that can replicate the level of intensity on each regular season game.
Because you know what they're celebrating? I'm disappointed that my picks have been bad when I put in all the work. that's the frustration they feel. Like in baseball, you put in work for each game, but there's so many games. But hockey and basketball, the same thing. You put in literally a week of work for that game. You want to make sure that it was worthwhile. He's not thinking about I won a Super Bowl. He's not thinking they're 3-9. He's thinking I put in work for this game, and I want it to work out. And that's what you're celebrating, that your work paid off.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. It made the week worthwhile. That's essentially what it is.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know what? Michael's been waiting for it all day, so I'm not going to make him wait any further. It's time for World Cup Watch.
Oh, can you believe this? Go, go!
Close to Steven! It's got it!
Goal! That is one of the strengths of the season!
World Cup Watch.
I won't try eggs. I'm going to try soccer.
If you thought USA soccer, then you're a moron.
What a day of quarterfinal action in the World Cup. One of the wackiest I can recall. The early game, Croatia-Brazil. Neymar scores in the first half of extra time. Croatia ties it in the second half of extra time. They go to PKs, and it sounds like this.
And that's it! Brazil are out! Croatia do it again!
Croatia advances past Brazil, the second game of the day. If you didn't think it could get any crazier, would be the Netherlands and Argentina. Argentina was up 2-0. Messi already had one goal in the can. And heading into the 84th minute, Don's favorite player, Wout Weghorst, scored in the 84th minute.
What's that first name?
Wout. W-O-U-T. Wout Weghorst.
Wow.
And then
Wout.
Regulation time ends. How much is stoppage time? They say 10 minutes.
About. Because not exactly. About.
Well, you're apparently right, Michael, because the goal scored to tie the game by Weghorst again is actually listed as at plus 11 minutes. Wow. It was in the 11th minute of stoppage time. And we've talked about that. Stoppage time has been up across World Cup. Numbers, you never see 10 minutes. It's been regular in this World Cup. Weghorst scores again in extra time to tie it 2-2. They go to PKs, and Argentina holds on to advance 4-3 in penalties.
Now, let me ask. I don't want to dump a bucket of warm urine on this. Because
here we go. But you can't. You can't lay off.
Does the temperature of urine matter?
Yes. I was going to say something. I just edited myself. My point is this. FIFA is a disgusting organization rife with corruption. Well, how could you not even consider that the fix is in? How could you not even consider it when you don't know exactly how much time there is left?
Well, let me investigate this, Michael. Let's ask some probing questions.
All right.
Take us through the final minute of the extra time. Was Croatia buzzing? Or excuse me, were the Netherlands buzzing? Was it close? Like they want to see if it plays out?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just saying is that would they ever stop the clock when a team is on a 2-on-1 or they're on the verge of scoring, would they say, oh, they let it play out. Let's see if this comes of anything, and then they scored during that period of time.
And it was probably, exactly.
Well,
and
that's the issue. See, that's the issue.
Why is that an issue, though? It's just different.
Because now it's just completely arbitrary. Like, we don't want to stop the clock, so we're going to put up 10 minutes of extra time. All right, that I understand. I get that. But now you're going to go past the 10 minutes because the team might score. Let's see this through. There's no analogy. I can't think of anything comparable. Like tonight, you know, the Rangers are down 2-1. The clock zeroes out. It's not like, well, Zibanejad's on a breakaway. Let's see if he scores. No, the clock zeroes out. It's over. So you put the extra time when you're going to allow it to see what that's the impropriety that Michael's talking about.
See, I don't even care about the extra time, Peter. Why can't they just put a set time on the clock? There's 10 minutes and 14 seconds left. When, as Don said, when it zeroes out, the game is over.
I hear what you're saying, but I respond with, who cares?
It a works. Lot of people but
they
care.
Don't. No one all right. cares.
All right. But,
it's the most
all right.
popular
no
game on Earth.
Obviously,
no
we care.
You're not
we
fans.
Don't,
so, you only like the sport.
So it doesn't matter. Right. So,
maybe that's
so,
why we don't.
But no, here's the no. one angle where I think it's fair for it to be addressed.
Okay.
As Michael said, this is a corrupt organization. It allows a lot of room for corruption. It allows a lot of room for FIFA to say, hey, we want to see some excitement here. We want to see this game tied. Let it play out another little bit here. Let's like you don't see that
I mean,
that
okay, but if,
some room for impropriety.
I mean, listen, if you believe anything that we learned yesterday from Congress, the NFL's integrity should certainly be in question, and we trust them with reviews. They go to their replay center. Well, we're confident with what happens.
Well, I mean, we do.
Every organization
we don't.
I mean, could be in
question. Come on, we'll get plenty of calls from people saying, oh, they want the Cowboys to advance. That's what I mean. There's always going to be questions with review. Review is very open-ended, right? There's times where it's a judgment call. That's why it was ridiculous that they judged pass interference. But in this particular thing, with at least you know when the clock zeroes out, when the last out is done, the game is over. When
Peter,
you leave it kind of open-ended, Michael's right, it does leave for some impropriety.
Peter, the NFL is St. Jude's Hospital compared to FIFA.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I would
I'll
say
play
this.
Along.
In terms of, like, well, there's no, I don't know if there might be some dirt there, a lot of dirt. But I don't know if there's corruption.
Would you
I don't think there's corruption.
Would you rule out that the NFL, that there's a possibility NFL was covering up the extent of brain injuries for years and years and letting their players get sick and die? That's possible. It's on the table.
I have no idea.
Right. You have no idea, but it certainly wouldn't shock you. And there have been things that have come out that have intimated maybe that is the case.
But
they're
FIFA,
all pretty bad.
FIFA sold the World Cup and changed the time of the World Cup to Qatar. And hundreds of people died building those stadiums. You think FIFA blinked?
Hold on.
Right. We went from talking about, God, if Andrew Gunling was listening, he'd be blowing his brains out. The excitement of two insane quarterfinals games to questioning the same thing about the way the game is played that we question every time we're talking about it to
true.
Now questioning the integrity of FIFA. It was two great games, okay?
Right. You're right. But one
we're
last
sorry,
thing before.
Peter. Right. We're sorry.
Just to aid what Peter said. If the NFL played by the same rules, you would be more than fair to wonder if there was corruption because of the track record of the NFL with the concussions, what happened with Snyder, where if they left it open-ended and had the same timekeeping as they had there, then I think many people would say the same thing. You really trust the NFL? You really think that there is an impropriety? That's the overall
Peter,
point.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Peter is 100% right. Exciting games, fun. We dumbed it. We Americaned it. We
Americaned
it.
All right. You know what? You know what?
Don't even have a clock, Peter. Just play until they run out of steam.
You know what? I can't. I'm under 2 minutes.
We suck.
So now I have to give you an incredibly abbreviated NFL announcer.
That's Michael's endgame.
I know.
Thank you, Don.
We'll start in Buffalo at 1 p.m. on CBS.
Hello, Fritz.
The New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. That's right. It's Jim Nance.
Never touched him. That's a catch.
That's Tony Romo. And, of course, Tracy Wolfson. Also at 1 o'clock in New York at MetLife Stadium. The Eagles are in town. 7-point favorites at the Giants. Joe Davis on the call on Fox. He'll be joined by Daryl Moose Johnston and Pam Oliver.
Hey, now.
Sunday Night Vehicle. We talked about it earlier. Miami at the Chargers on NBC at 8:20. Mike Tirico on the call. He'll be joined by Chris Collinsworth.
Stop it.
And Melissa Stark. The Monday Nighter's a dog. The New England Patriots at the Arizona Cardinals. Woof, woof.
Big for me.
Joe Buck on the call.
I actually called a touchdown live on national TV while peeing in a trash can.
Joined by Troy Aikman.
Come on, Daddy.
And Lisa Salters. And, of course, guys, there will be a Manning cast to boot. And that will do it for your NFL announcer lineup, abbreviated version, and ENN on this Friday, December the 9th.
Wow. Don's has a big game tonight in Colorado. You can hear it starting at 8:30, right, Don?
8:30 on 1050.
And that's at 9 on 1050. Coming up is the Knicks pregame show right here on 98.7 against Charlotte. That will be a 7 o'clock tip-off. And on, yes, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 against the Hawks in Brooklyn. So there you have it. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. And remember, Daniel Craig says...
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.